The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
There's just a lot of stuff that irritates me. The news media don't know what they're talking about. Watching some show the other day, a girl comes on there, interrupt my show. Learn how to protect herself tonight at 10. What if something happened to me at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night there? Now what do I do? Computers is ruining this country. Let me tell you something. I bought a computer. You know what? I might as well bought a $2,200 deck of cards. All right? I kid. All I do is play solitaire on that computer.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. We are the show that talks about computers, technology,
and the internet. How you guys doing?
I'm good.
How you doing, Andy?
I'm good. How are you? Are
I'm
y'all,
good.
Y'all you back just, and refreshed from your trip to New York?
New York. I was a New Yorker for a couple of days.
Now, let me ask, did you actually run into people that had the real thick, and I apologize to our listeners that have the real thick accent. Did you run into them?
Not really. I mean, there was a couple, just maybe like a handful of people that as we're walking in the streets and stuff, you know, you would catch that real thick Brooklyn accent or the Bronx or, you know, Staten Island.
Yeah.
But for the most part, everybody just talked like me, you know? Because there's a lot of transplants in New York now.
Yeah.
And we kind of went to the touristy places while we were there. So because of that, you know, there's obviously not going to be a lot of, that's the big thing is like the New Yorkers that live there, they don't go to the touristy places.
No.
So when you go to those places, you're not going to hear any New York accents.
Yeah. You hear stories all the time that people will say, you know, they're surveyed in areas they live, and they don't go to, like, the local things.
No, not at all.
You know, I'm wondering, there's probably a large number of Arizonans that haven't been in the Grand Canyon. I have not been to the Titan Missile Museum, which is, like, right here in Green Valley, which is a lot of people love.
Wait, you have a
Titan
missile silo in your backyard?
Yeah, pretty much. Green Valley does.
And that must be some super cheap rent, then. There's always a chance that something might just explode and launch out of your backyard.
Did you ever see the Star Trek movie where it was?
Nope.
You're not a Star Trekker.
No, not really. No. Now, if you would have said Star Wars, I would have been like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, New York was fun. I mean, I was up there for work. So Misa and Eric, you know, they did their little touring and stuff on Thursday, Friday. And then we went out at night. We went to the first one was the Empire State Building, but we had, because the station that I work for has their transmitter located on top of the Empire State Building.
Oh, wow.
We had an executive VIP pass that we bypassed everybody. We went straight to the top.
That's awesome.
And it saved us money because, I mean, that's $40 a ticket to get up there.
Wait, they charge you to actually get up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's expensive. And so we got right up to the top. Got to take the pictures up at the top on the 86th floor, which is the outside observation deck. Yeah, that was really, really packed. So
yeah,
we didn't stay there that long, but we made it over to Staten Island. We took the ferry because that goes right in front of the Statue of Liberty. We took that, you know, there and back, and that's a free ferry. So you just hop on and get, you know, hop off, whatever.
Is it amazing, as most people say? Yeah. I mean, my dad, when we came over to the United States, we came on the SS United States.
You landed at Ellis Island, didn't you?
We may have. I don't know.
I'm joking, dude. That was closed back in like 1920.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not that old.
Yeah. No. Shy a couple
years. I don't know. But I know that my dad told me that that was one of the most amazing things in his life. I mean, our family was all from England.
Yeah.
You know, and India. But when he took the boat, he said seeing that, he said he couldn't put it into words. That he, from that moment on, he was like the most diehard American. I mean, even when he got sick and had, you know, cancer, they told him he could go back to England for national health and get treated there and the whole bit. And he said, no, he wasn't leaving. And he said, once you see that, you see the grandeur of the beauty of what it is to be an American, that so many people saw that, then he was sold.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is you know, I can see that. If you're an immigrant from another country, you're coming here to America, and you've heard about the Statue of Liberty or whatever, and you see it for the first time, you know, in person, it can be like, you know, what your father experienced. But for me, you know, I grew up with the Statue of Liberty, seeing it on TV all the time.
Yeah.
And so when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, we were still pretty far back. I mean, I don't even know, man. I had to say probably at least 10 or 15 football fields, you know, away.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was still pretty far away, and it was big, but it wasn't as big as you imagine it being on TV.
Right.
And I got to say, Ghostbusters, you know, when the Ghostbusters 2, that was completely false because she does not walk and she's not that tall.
Not like, or the Johnsonville Brat commercial. They've got her now in that, moving around.
Yeah.
Hey,
no,
wait, well, you were there. Did that lady climb up?
That was before we were there.
Ah, okay.
But no, we got to do that real quick. And then we got to go see the World Trade Center Memorial. And that was the one thing that really just kind of upset me a little bit. And it wasn't for the reason you might think, but we got there and it seemed like it was Disneyland. They turned the 9/11 Memorial into what looks like a Disneyland. You walk over. I mean, yes, this is definitely, it's a block away from the actual, you know, the site where the two pools are, where the towers right. once stood. But they've got a Westfield Mall.
Oh, wow.
That's now there. Then they had street vendors. They had a live DJ playing. They had big, huge art, like graffiti murals, and they had, you know, food trucks. And it was just like, this is like a memorial site. Why are you turning this into such a, like a, you know, a touristy attraction? But I guess, you know, that's what it is. It's a tourist attraction now. But, you know, I went over to the memorial pool and, you know, paid my respects and everything. And then
how is that? Is it pretty somber?
Not right at the pool. I mean, there's all these people and they're all, you know, bustling to get up to the front to look into the pool and stuff like that. And people taking pictures and chatting. So it's not really somber at all. I mean, it's just like another tourist attraction, like, oh, cool, I got to see the pool.
Yeah.
But the museum that's there, that is where they say you got to go. If you want to really pay your respects and see the story, you go to the museum. They don't allow kids in the museum because it's a very quiet place. The cell phones have to be turned off. Right. You know, all that stuff.
No pictures, no selfies. No pictures,
yep, nothing like that. And the line was extremely long. But again, because we had Eric with us, we couldn't obviously go because of the you know, the no kid rule.
Right.
But I've heard that right there, that is where it'll tug at your heartstrings, is to watch and go through that museum. So we didn't get to go do that. But then after that, we hopped in a taxi to go up to the Upper East Side. And that's where one of her friends live. And she lives just a few blocks away from Central Park. But the Upper East Side is completely different than Lower Manhattan. I mean, Lower Manhattan's dirty. You know, there's a lot of like vendors and people hawking different things at you. The Upper East Side is much more ritzy and the streets are clean. You know, there's trees, there, you know, all that stuff. I mean, Lower Manhattan is really, I'll tell you the worst part about Lower Manhattan is Chinatown.
Is it really?
Oh God! It was just. I'm sorry. It's disgusting. I mean, the roads, the sidewalks are sticky everywhere, and the goods that they're selling are just cheap knockoff goods everywhere. And it was hot.
LA's like that too.
Yeah, I mean, it was really bad. And we got in there and we're like, wait, this is Chinatown? We're like, yeah. We got out of there as soon as we could. Went over to Little Italy and had some food there. But you know, all in all, it was pretty good. We spent a lot of time in Central Park, which is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And we only touched a sliver of it. And you know what? Central Park is massive.
Well, and it's funny because when you think of Central Park, you think of New York. I'm sorry, but it's been ingrained in us through movies. You think about getting mugged. Has that changed?
Well, I mean, there's cops everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and New York City, even in the city, but yeah, there's cops everywhere. But yeah, I mean, Central Park is so big that there are places where you can go and get lost and you get mugged at a certain time. But for the most part, there's so many people going through the park, unless you're there after hours, which by the way, I've heard there's actually a curfew. You're not supposed to be in the park after like, I think it's like 10 PM.
Right.
So that's kind of helps curb the people going in there late at night and getting mugged. But,
how about the food? I would love to go just to try the different, because you got so many cultures. It's like a melting pot there.
It is completely a melting pot. I mean, I was watching a YouTube video about it. Like, New York is like the only city in the world that they speak 400 different languages.
Wow.
And I mean, there's food of everything. Any ethnicity, any food you can imagine in the world is there. And it's usually within just a few blocks of walking. I mean, we can see, there was one I really wanted to try was the halal guys. They make, you know, halal food, but they were really famous and they're just a street cart vendor, but they're super famous for their food.
Right.
And they're cheap too. It's like 10 bucks for a huge meal. We didn't get to go do that. That was the one thing we didn't get to go do, but we tried everything. I mean, New York pizza and Italian food. And I mean, just whatever, we tried it and it was all really, really good.
Now,
and I got to say, overall, it was a great trip.
How about the pizza though? I have to ask.
Oh, the pizza is amazing. We had a buffalo chicken pizza with ranch sauce on it. Oh, to die for. To die for. Yeah, it was really, really good.
Okay, so all of those buildings in New York, and I have to think about this, and I know this can be kind of an issue with some cities. You talk about the television tower that was on top of the Empire State Building. How is the internet? How is, service through Verizon and AT&T and some of those other carriers? Well, how's that done out there?
I can't speak for AT&T and the other carriers and stuff. I can only speak Verizon. I never had any problems with signal. I mean, they have repeaters on top of the buildings that repeat and they blast down the signal down below, especially down in lower Manhattan where you've got the super tall buildings.
Right.
So, yeah, I never once had any trouble with dropping my call or having signal issue anywhere.
Did you go out to Wall Street? Did you see any of that?
No, that was the one we did skip. It was right there. It was one block away from the Staten Island Ferry. Yeah. One train stop, I should say. But we did not go see Wall Street. And mostly because it was a Saturday. There's really not going to be much going on a Saturday in Wall Street. So that's why we skipped it. But we didn't get to go see that. We didn't go to Tribeca. We didn't go to the Bronx, Brooklyn, none of that stuff.
Nobody famous? Didn't see anybody,
We ran into Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, really?
No. No, we did not.
I believe you.
Yeah, I know. No, we didn't. I was looking around. I was looking. I mean, I very well could have gotten by somebody that was famous that was kind of in disguise. I have no idea. I mean, right. Most of those people live up in the Upper East Side and the Upper West Side, of Manhattan because they got the penthouses up there. So we didn't really stay that too much up there. So we kind of went into the Central Park area.
For any of our listeners that are thinking, man, maybe I want to, listen to Justin, maybe I want to make a trip to New York. How long would you recommend somebody plan to go to take a trip? If they're going to take a trip,
I would say no more than a week. I mean, first off, you're walking everywhere. If you're not taking the subway, I mean, even though in the subway, you're still walking and during the summer, it's hot and muggy. And during the winter, it's freezing cold. So you either go in the spring or the fall. But honestly, after a week, you've pretty much seen all the stuff there really is to see and you're tired. You're tired of walking. I mean, you're walking so much. My Google Fit on my phone is like, it actually sent me an alert going, what the heck are you doing this week? Because I was walking so much.
That's awesome.
It's like you've met your daily goal. You've met your monthly goal today.
That is awesome.
So, but it's a fun. It was a fun trip. And definitely New Yorkers are a lot friendlier than I thought they would be. I you get the idea that New Yorkers are like, yeah, I'm walking here. There was only one person that was gave me any type of attitude whatsoever. And funny enough, it was actually a police officer. No, not a police. I was an MTA transit officer.
Right.
But he was on a smoke break and he was kind of off the side of the building. And I was just kind of like, excuse me, is this the station to get onto the queue line? Because I had my Google Map thing out telling me to take the queue line.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, kind of rolling his eyes. I'm like, okay, thanks. And he's like, yep. But I mean, I could get it. I mean, he probably gets that all the time. And he was just trying to take a quick smoke break and somebody comes up, some dumb tourist. He's like, is this where I'm going to get on the queue line? Thank you, sir.
I would have loved it if you would have gotten on Cash Cab. That would have been, that would have been awesome. Oh my
gosh. Well, we only took the one cab because it was just the one that, we took the train everywhere. And in fact, we actually took we landed at LaGuardia and LaGuardia does not have a train into Manhattan. So you have to take this bus called the LaGuardia Link. And the only reason I knew about that is because I was browsing through YouTube looking at New York videos and I came across a video that said how to get from LaGuardia to Manhattan. And I'm like, oh, well, that's us.
There you go.
So I watched this video and the guy's walking through LaGuardia and he's like pointing out where to go on his, while he's walking with his phone, pointing out the different places. And sure enough, when we went to get our bags, that's the exact place where his video started. And I'm like, wait. This is familiar. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I just go around this corner, up there's the stairs. And I went right up and I was like, up there's the MTA machine to get your MTA ticket.
Power of the internet.
I know, it was great. But then the MTA ticket machine was down. So then I was like, well, there goes that idea. So I had to go downstairs to a bookstore to get the new MTA tickets. Anyway, getting on the bus to LaGuardia takes you down into Queens at the Jackson Street station. And that's where you get on the train. In the guy's video, it was only like him and like three other people on the bus. I'm like, oh, this is not going to be a problem. We got the baby. We've got a stroller. We've got two huge suitcases. I got my backpack. Misa's got her purse.
Right.
Yeah. No, that thing was packed. And I was jam tight with all these people trying to get on. And I had nowhere to move. And I'm trying to manage all the suitcases. and Mises got Eric, and it was not fun to be on that thing. So on the way back, we were like, you know what? When we go back to the airport, we're just taking a taxi.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I tell you, you can get to LaGuardia to Manhattan for $2.75.
You're kidding me.
Nope. Wow. You get on the LaGuardia link and you get a free transfer onto the subway, and the subway then takes you right over to Penn Station.
Wow. See, that's the thing. You have, in a town like that, you have to be rapid transit. How about subways? You take them?
Yeah, we took the subways everywhere. That's cool. And I mean, it's not that hard. Once you kind of understand it a little bit, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. Uptown is going north. Downtown is going south. I mean, it's not that hard.
Now, for our listeners that are maybe thinking about planning a trip anywhere, really, how helpful was the internet with that?
It was amazing. Like I said, watching YouTube videos, like top 10 things to see, top 10 things not to do while you're in New York, the LaGuardia link video, just things like that. That really helped me decide where I wanted to go eat, where I wanted to go see, and how to do it.
Right.
And how to use the subway. There's videos on how to use the subway system. It's great. It was awesome.
You know, it was interesting because I took a little vacation myself, went a couple of days back to Huntington Beach. And I was there, and it was funny because I got back and I got a thing from Instagram. I don't know if you've gotten anything similar yet. That was suddenly saying,
depends.
We see you recently. We're in Huntington Beach. And would you mind taking a short survey and be entered in to win a chance of blah, blah, blah. So normally I don't do
not
these
from
things.
Instagram.
Well, yeah. And I got mine from Instagram, and I normally don't do these. And I thought, no, I'll give it a shot. I'll have some fun. So it was asking me questions about, number one, about how often I go, when I go to a place, what do I look for? What kind of places that I go to eat? You know, that kind of thing.
your answer should be, don't you already know that, Facebook? I mean, you right. kind of like know everything about me.
But it was weird. Well, survey was done by Visit Huntington Beach on Instagram. And the thing is then over the last couple of days since I got back, I've been getting follow requests, followers from Huntington Beach. Many different followers. So I'm thinking, and they're businesses. So I'm thinking what Instagram has done is taken this survey and they've kind of spread it to some of the businesses that probably have subscribed to this. And now they're following me, hoping that at some point next time I'm in that town, they'll send me direct ads, you know, saying, come eat at our restaurant. Come do this, come do that. So, I mean, that data would no matter. And I turned off my Snapchat location.
Mention
and all
code
that.
Big Brother for 10% off.
There you go. Exactly. So, I mean, it is something to think about. So, you know, if you want to be off the grid and you don't want to show them that you were there, you pretty much got to log out of your devices.
Yeah, pretty much.
Log out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shut them down, really.
Yeah. But I didn't take any pictures saying I was in HB or anything like that. Yeah. That's just the way it works.
It's just tracks. Yeah. They track you everywhere you go now.
All right. Some big changes with crypto. And, you know, we haven't talked about cryptocurrency in a while.
Yeah. Neither has anybody else, really. It's kind of.
What happened?
It was that bull run. Everybody was excited about it. And then everybody knew it was going to correct. And it did.
And it finally got to a point where it was like, okay, how much lower can it go?
Well, you know, at the time when we talked about it last, it was like in early January or something, and it was like almost 20,000 for a bit for a single Bitcoin.
Right.
And it went all the way down to, I believe it got down to like 5,500 or something like that.
Something like that.
It took a big dip, but now it's starting to level back out, and people are starting to think, okay, now is the time for the next bull run. We're getting into that time of the year again. But there's a lot of cryptocurrencies that have died out because, you know, everybody's getting into this phenomena of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, and they started creating all these, you know, quote unquote cryptocurrencies, thinking they can cash in and make it, you know, make millions by creating their own cryptocurrency. And a lot of them are dead. According to an article from CNBC, it was talking about that over 800 different cryptocurrencies are now dead and are worth less than 1 cent.
Wow. But see, that's the thing. They say, oh, they're worthless, but they're worth 1 cent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's still pretty much. I mean, you go and you dropped, you know, I don't know, let's say you dropped $10 a coin on this, and now, you know, that coin is worth 1 penny. It's like, well, I just lost a lot of money. But the thing is these are people that have been investing in these, what they call ICOs, which is the same kind of concept as an IPO, you know, initial public offering. An ICO is an initial coin offering, where it's a new company coming out saying, hey, look at our new product. This is what we're going to do. We're going to revolutionize the world. Come buy our stuff. and right. people do it, and then they go, oops, well, actually it didn't work out as planned. Bye. And then the people that made this cryptocurrency take off with all the people's money. And then they're left with nothing. They're left holding bags of worthless, you know, cryptocurrency. So, you know, that's the thing is, you know, you get into something like cryptocurrency, you really got to do your research and you got to know what you're getting into. I got into, you know, Bitcoin, and I also got into some other crypto, you know, what they call them altcoins, because they're alternate to the Bitcoin.
Right.
But I did my research on the ones that I got into. So right. I never really got into stuff that was, you know, really, really volatile and like kind of unproven. I waited and saw what was out there. And I'll be honest, my portfolio is definitely down from what it was in January. I mean, right. everybody's is really. But I'm holding strong. I haven't sold a single coin from any of them since I bought them all. I'm holding on to them strong, hoping that, you know, that soon they're going to go back up again.
There's and that's the thing. You hear a lot of rumor. You hear, oh, it's going to bubble again. It's going to go up. And you hear a lot of rumor about it. And it's funny because you'll hear some rumors and then you'll start to see it tick up a little and you go, oh, okay, that's pretty good. Keep the ride going.
Yeah.
And then a financial analyst will come out from the banks and say, this is worthless. Nobody should be doing this, blah, blah. And then it will take a dive again, because what happens, you get a lot of people that are getting in thinking, oh, it's starting to go up. I'm going to go ahead and buy. And then it goes up a little. Then the
it's called FOMO, fear of missing out.
That's it. And then people freak out. So they pull their money because they've made a few bucks, and then it starts taking a dive again because yep. they're reacting by pulling the money out. Well, if everybody was hodling, then you'd see a better, I think a better outcome for.
Well, you definitely would see less price. You would see less price fluctuations because everybody's holding on to all the coins. Nobody's buying and trading, so you wouldn't see as much fluctuation. The true masters of cryptocurrency out there. You know, we interviewed Joe Blackburn many months ago. And there's another guy on the Facebook page for the cryptocurrency is called his name's Todd Blackburn, and no relation to Joe, but
right.
he's a master. He's a master trader. And so he loves it when people do this kind of stuff, because that's his opportunity to get in and make money, because he'll wait for the price to get, you know, shilled up, and he'll sell all of his coins, and then he waits and waits for it to go down because everybody's freaking out. And then he just buys all those coins up and just rinse and repeat. And, you know, that's how he makes a living, because he plays off of the fear of other people.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're not smart enough to do your own research and know what you're getting yourself into, then, you know, you part with your money. What's the old famous saying? A fool parts with his money or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something like that. I don't know. Never ask me these quotes. I don't know them. I can't remember.
Like, I'm kind of dumb. I don't know. No, you're not. So, but that's true. But I mean, you got to know what you're doing.
Is Bitcoin still the king? It's the king, because so many have come out.
It's the king.
Yeah.
It's going to be the king for the foreseeable future. Nothing out there is. I mean, it's the gold standard to how gold is the standard to any currency right now. Bitcoin is the digital version of gold.
We're starting to see blockchain technology being used in other areas as well.
Absolutely.
So that's continuing to develop. And that's what somebody was asking us once about this and saying, well, you know, is it a flash in a pan? And I said, well, you have to look at the technology that's behind it.
Yeah.
That will be around for a long time.
That's what you need to understand. That's where we're going with this. Blockchain. It's not all about, it's blockchain technology. It's not about the currency aspect of it. I mean, yes, that's going to be a side product, but blockchain technology is what is going to lead us into the future.
Yeah, you see that in a lot of different places. So yeah, if anybody's going to do it, I mean, Coinbase, I don't know, is that still like the big?
Yeah, right now, I mean, because that's the easiest one to get into, but there are more and more exchanges that are coming online that are now accepting, you know, fiat, you know, like US dollars
right.
or euros. Coinbase isn't just the one anymore that does that. But, you know, you're also opening up that huge new thing with all the, you know, the tax implications of buying and trading and stuff. And, you know, the longer you hold on to it, I think it's the longer you hold on, the less tax you pay. I don't even know what my tax, when I decide to sell later on, I don't know what my tax implications are going to be, but I have to research that.
Right. Exactly. And then for what years?
But you're yeah, for what years? It. Yeah. Well, I'm not touching it. It's just sitting.
So you don't have to claim any.
At least that's what I think, at least right now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm not touching it, how can I be taxed on something I'm not even touching? It's just sitting there, you know?
Let me ask you something. All right. Well, the last laptop you bought, how long ago was it?
Oh, God,
man. Bought or just received?
Last laptop you bought or received, I guess.
Well, my work laptop, it's a tiny little Dell Inspiron. I mean, it's just for work.
All right.
You know.
In this week's tech segment that I did on KMSB Fox 11, I was going to do a segment on back to school and buying a laptop and, you know, some of the cool things about some of these low-priced laptops. However, after studying the laptop that I purchased to use for the segment, I decided to change it in what not to buy and things you need to be alert for. So we can take a quick break. We come back. I'll go over some of those things. If you're thinking about getting a laptop, whether it be for back to school or for work, because you see these prices and they look really good, there's some warnings that I have for you. So we'll do that when we come back. Find us on the web at techtalkradio.com.
You can also find us on Facebook and send us a message. Facebook.com/techtalkers. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy.
So every other Monday, I go on to Fox television here in Tucson, and I show a gadget. I show something that can help people when it comes to technology. We've done everything from drones to webcams to home automation, everything. And it's been a while since I showed a laptop. And I know back to school, that's, I always like to try and go with, you know, general theme of what's going on in the community. And of course, we got a lot of kids already going back to school, getting ready for it. So parents,
I mean, it's already that time. It feels like just yesterday they all the kids got out of school.
Went by too fast. Yeah. You ask parents, they're going to tell you the same thing.
You remember when you were a kid and summer break felt like it lasted forever?
Yeah. Not for the parents.
No, they're just like, can this end sooner, please?
So, you know, the thing is, a lot of the schools now are, and many of the schools, what they're doing is giving the kids Chromebooks. They sign them out, just like a library book. The days of kids having to carry backpacks, I remember it was like you were trudging off to World War I with a backpack that had, you know, 20 books in them.
Yeah.
That were all the textbooks. You know, if you lost one of those textbooks, God forbid, you were going to pay a lot of money for that textbook, or your parents were. So they're starting to put a lot of the curriculum on the Chromebooks, which is cool because the kids get to use those. Now, a lot of people don't know what Chromebooks are, Chromebooks versus, say, an actual laptop. You know, it's Google Chrome OS. It's an operating system that is basically a Chrome operating system.
It's Android.
They're going to be putting some more features into Android as well for some of these Chromebooks. Some of them are, you know, some of these Chromebooks, you know, I've always thought, oh, they're the lower end, the slower scale. They're putting some pretty big processors in them.
Yeah, I mean, the Chromebook itself is not a laptop to scoff at. I mean, if you're looking for, you know, performance to play video games on and stuff, yeah, you don't want Chromebook. But other than that, I mean, Chromebook is a excellent tool for, you know, doing simple web browsing, email, word processing, homework, you know, whatever. That's a great laptop for that.
Well, I was on vacation. I was thinking, well, Monday when I go back, I'm going to have to come up with something that I want to do. And I said, I want to do something around back to school. So we basically, I got into town and then we decided, let's go see what I can find in the shelves that would be good for the consumers. And I start looking around. And I'm looking, honestly, I'm looking at the MSI laptops, which are $1,200 and $1,600. Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking at the HPs and I'm thinking, you know, I just didn't really want to guide people into the HP. And I see a Lenovo, and it's priced at $340. And I'm thinking, you know, back to school, that's a great price. It's not a Chromebook. It's got an Intel i3 processor in it.
Sure.
It's 1 terabyte hard drive, 4 gigs of RAM. But that's, you know, that's okay. Yeah. That's decent. And I thought, you know, this might be a great device to take home. So I go ahead. I spend the money. I go ahead. I bring it home. And after dinner, I kind of open it up and I start going through it and doing some tests. And I realized there's, number one, there's no documentation with it. And I'll be honest with you, I've used Lenovos before. I really like them. They're really pretty much well-built machines.
Who owns Lenovo?
IBM.
IBM, okay.
IBM. So I'm going through it and I'm thinking, wow, I kind of like this. And then, like, where's the documentation? Mm-hmm. Couldn't find any documentation. Setup was very easy on this laptop. It had a nice 15-inch screen on it. You know, I was pleased with that. Wasn't a Chromebook. Runs Windows 10. And I go online and I'm looking for documentation on this thing. I start reading some of these reviews. And they're complaining that there is no CD-DVD drive.
Wait a minute. Those don't normally come with them now.
Well, yeah. You know what? I saw it at the store, though. I saw one. So I start looking at the site, and I see what looks like a CD DVD tray right there.
Okay.
It's not. It's a dummy.
What?
It's a dummy. They actually, rather than just taking the whole back cover and just sealing it, it's a dummy tray. You can't even pull the tray. You could pull the tray out, but if you plug it in, there's no connector in it that would allow you to connect a drive that you went out and bought.
Hmm.
Some of the Lenovas have a option on some CD DVD trays that do come with systems to go ahead and install a second battery, because the battery they give you is pretty weak. It's not going to last for a long time, even on this i3. And I'm thinking, why would you do that? Why would you put a dummy tray and it's got to be cost in maybe board design or the bottom panel. You can't change out the battery on this thing. You know, you used to have to flip a switch on the back of the laptop and you would pull up. So I'm thinking, okay, for consumers, that could be pretty bad. If your battery eventually goes out, mm-hmm. you know, it always was nice because I've had my laptop 7 years now, maybe 8 years, running Windows 10. It's a really good laptop, still performs great. I've upgraded memory, hard drive, all of that. You can't upgrade the hard drive in it. You can't upgrade the memory. The memory is soldered onto the board. So the old days of you opening a panel and wanting to upgrade and by just going out and buying a couple of memory sticks and sliding them into the slot, you can't do that. You have to take it to a representative for the company and have them actually do the work. And the most they can upgrade it to is 12 gigabytes. They can add 6 on a slot that's there. But again, it has to be soldered into the board. And I'm like, wow. So while I'm not saying this is not the laptop to get, but I'm saying for many consumers that go out there that have had laptops over the years, maybe you've been happy with a Compaq or an HP and been able to run it and do, you know, neat things with it. They need to be also informed that, wait a minute, it might not do everything you want. So it really turned into a segment of me saying, listen, make a checklist of the things you expect in your laptop. Mm-hmm. What kind of processor? And don't necessarily say no to the AMD Ryzen processor. A lot of us were sold on, you know, going for just Intel. Battery, can the battery be upgraded? Can you add a battery, which a lot of the features are? Can you add a DVD, CD? You can do it externally. So I do want to mention that, but you're going to spend an extra, what, $80? Maybe $100 on those externals.
Like, yep.
So you're going to spend that. So by that time, you could have upgraded and got one with a little more processor, maybe a little more memory anyways. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe what I've always recommended for many people is you're going to buy a system, low-end, 5,400 RPM drive, pull that drive, put in an SSD if you can, and run it off the SSD. Because you can find those cheap, and you're going to get much better performance, you know, instant on almost when you turn that on. And also the screen that came with this one that we looked at, the 330 model is what it is not full, you know, 1920, 1080. It's less resolution. It's what I got now on my Asus, and I'm happy with that. But if you want that full resolution, you want to be able to watch Netflix or Hulu on a break or whatever, you know, think about that too.
Hmm.
So there you go. So cost, not always the best thing when it comes to low cost.
You get what you pay for. Really?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And, but I kind of want to say there's an exception though, because I mean, like the Chromebook, I mean, it's very cheap. I mean, what was the
149?
Yeah. Something ridiculous, really cheap. But again, if you're looking for performance, you don't want to get that. So like you said, you make a checklist of the things you want in a laptop and go out and get it. But you know, you don't need to go out and spend, you know, drop $2,000 or $2,500 or even, like this other thing I wanted to mention here, $2,800 on a laptop, and then find out it doesn't work for what you need it to do, or, you know, in the case of Apple, it doesn't work at
oh,
all.
Oh, no. You're going there.
I am going there. I am segueing hard into this one. So, yeah, Apple, they recently released their new MacBook Pro, right?
Okay.
The cheapest MacBook Pro is $2,800. The cheapest. Wow. And that has the new Intel i9 processor.
Right.
And they're touting that it can reach speeds up to 2.9 gigahertz, which doesn't sound right. I mean, 2.9 is like that's like so 2012. I mean, my desktop was pushing 4.4.
But you are running, and let's be fair, you are running a more streamlined OS. You know,
that's
the
true.
iOS for the iMacs are, you know, they run pretty good on even the lower CPU usage.
Sure. Yeah.
If you could achieve it.
Yes. But here's the problem people are having. They're returning these $2,800 bricks because they're not able to reach the speeds of what the i9 is capable of. And they say 2.9 gigahertz. They're not even able to do that. And it's not necessarily Intel's fault. It's not Intel's fault. It's Apple's fault because Apple has tried to make their MacBook so thin that they cannot provide adequate cooling to keep the MacBook cool. And therefore, the CPU goes into protect mode or whatever it does. And it cannot reach the speeds that it's touted to be able to support. So people are getting pretty fed up with Apple. And they're just like, you know what? We're not going to drop this much money on a computer.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And, you know, and speaking of, you know, DVD drives and all that stuff, Apple got rid of all that. I mean, they got rid of the DVD drive and they got rid of, well, pretty much everything except for a lightning connector. And then you just got to buy dongles for everything now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
Do they do C or are they sticking with lightning? Some of them. I think it depends,
I think,
right?
The new one is the C. I think right. New one is USB-C.
Because yeah. I know they did have USB-C on this Lenovo that I had looked at. But that's the thing. And, you know, MSI, the other laptop I was looking at that was $1,200, that laptop, pretty amazing. At 20 sure. gigabytes of memory.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's a hybrid drive. So you had an SSD, you had a 7200 RPM, you know, drive. So you had a SATA drive, and then you had the SSD drive, which is nice. It came with a DVD Blu-ray drive, mm-hmm. had 1920, you know, 1080. It was really kind of built for games because it was running at 4 gigahertz
yeah.
on the Intel, you know, i9 processor. So, I mean, in that respect, that, and you were spending a top $1,600. So for me, that was like, I remember the old days, you walk into a computer store, you tell a guy, well, I need something to do email. You know, it's kind of like our Homer Simpson thing we've got.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, well, this one's...
You're going to need a top-of-the-line machine for that one.
Right.
Astronauts do their taxes on that one.
You got to memorize that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I don't want to tell everybody that because not everybody has that need. But remember, your needs grow when you get into technology.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, people on the Apple platform or people that are thinking, I have to stay with Apple, they believe, they've been led to believe that an Apple product won't work or give them that same results on a PC product. You know,
well, there's a certain, I mean, you don't, you can't get like GarageBand on a PC.
No, but you can find other programs.
You can
like
find other programs.
Steinberg puts out some sure. really great music programs. It's like Pro Tool users. There are other options that they can go to. Pro Tools is great, but there are other options. So
I think people just like the simplicity of Apple. And that simplicity, though, can is starting to come back and bite them because people I've been talking to that have been lifelong Apple fans are just starting to say, you know what? Forget Apple. We're not doing any more Apple because they're not innovating anymore. And they're basically like in the case of this, they're screwing over their customers, charging $2,800 for a computer that has actually been tested. I was reading the article, tested to perform worse than a 2017 Apple MacBook Pro with the i7 processor. And this is the i9.
Right. And like you said, not necessarily Intel's fault.
No, not at all.
It's a board design. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We'll have more technology for you. Amazon Prime, what was the big seller when they sold on Amazon Prime? And if you're looking to get around, Google Maps has got some neat things on it.
Absolutely. You can find us on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. Thank you for being here. Big question. Did you buy anything during Amazon Prime Day?
I couldn't.
You couldn't?
It was down.
You tried to get in. You couldn't.
It was down. All I saw was pictures of dogs.
Oh, no. Yeah, that wasn't had a good thing.
Instead of getting the 404 error page, they would just be like, oh, here's a picture of a dog from Amazon. I'm like, I don't care about a picture of a dog from Amazon. I want to buy some stuff.
Were they too afraid, too embarrassed to say, hey, our system's down? So instead, we'll redirect you to something else?
Yeah, it was some sort of, landing page that did it. But see, here's the thing. Amazon Prime kicked off around 1 p.m. my time. So that would be, 3 p.m. Eastern time,
right.
1 p.m. Mountain. And right away, people were saying, I can't get to it. And I was like, what? This is kind of funny. You know, like, what's going on? So I went there. You can get to the homepage, but you try to search for anything, and it would just say, oops, something happened with our system.
Great.
Please try again later. And I'm like, oh, no, Amazon's crashing. Turns out it did.
Yeah.
They crashed for everybody, and very few people could actually get in and do the Prime sales. So what they were saying is it took them a good 24 hours to get back to everybody about it. But apparently what happened was is they did not have enough servers to handle the capacity for the Prime Day, and their auto scaling system did not perform the way it was supposed to perform. I don't really know the details behind that, but what they did to remedy it was they actually shut down all international traffic between Amazon US and Amazon, you know, everywhere else.
Yeah.
That freed up enough system resources apparently to, you know, get the system running again. To be honest, I really don't like Prime Day. And I'll tell you, it's, for me, it feels like it's Amazon's cleaning the garage.
So the statistics were saying that they sold 300,000, the biggest seller in the US were the 300,000 cooking pots.
Instapots.
That's what they call
Instapots. Pressure cookers, yes.
Right. And, you know, they're used for making rice and all that. Now, I don't know what the price was on them. I mean, you could buy them normally like around $90.
Yeah.
So they must have been, you know, $40. I don't know.
Something like that. I mean, pressure cookers are awesome. I mean, if you don't have a pressure cooker, you should probably buy one.
That, but, yeah. And then these, the 23andMe kits, those sold very well.
Oh, I didn't know they had that. Yeah. I mean, because I was seeing things like Lisa Frank colored pencils and LED headlights. I'm like, why do I need this? You know, I didn't see all the good stuff. And then again, I didn't really stick around to browse. Look, man, I go by the 15-second rule. If you don't catch my eye within 15 seconds, I'm on to the next thing.
I think it's the way with a lot of things. Now, one thing I saw that I wanted to get, but again, it was like, you know, I just kind of walked away. And then by the time, you know, time rolled around, I forgot about it. But it was the Amazon Echo Dot. That was actually a pretty good price. I think it was $49.
I'll sell you one of mine. I got an extra one.
You try to get rid of them?
I got an extra one. No, I mean, since I got the Google Home, right. I have my Amazon Echo. I have one of my dots in my room.
Right.
Or the master bedroom. And then I have my Google Home in the living room as well. But I have an extra Amazon dot that I just don't use. I'll sell it to you.
There you go. Okay.
$20. How about that? $20.
Deal. But you see, I wanted to also get it on Google's deal that they were doing. Yeah. Google was, you know, making the home assistants. We talked about that on that.
They were doing a separate thing besides it because they don't their stuff on Prime. They do their own thing.
They do their own. And they said, we're not going to give it all to Prime. And then other retailers were doing stuff as well, and also calling it our Prime Savings Day.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that whole bit. Yeah. So they were,
and then all these local stores were getting on the action. Like it was almost like a small business Saturday, you know?
Right. And then so
they have to. They have to. Who's going to compete against Amazon? They have to team together. Yeah. All these competitors, these local mom and pop stores, even though they're competitors, they got to team up and try to take on Amazon, which is going to. I'm sorry to say, it's going to be a losing battle in the long run. But
well, yeah, I know. I just started seeing ads now for PillPack, which is the pharmacist that Amazon has bought for what, $1 billion?
Something like that.
Yeah, crazy amount of money that they've bought. And we're starting to see ads now for it. So, I mean, they're really taking on CVS, Walgreens.
They're taking Rite Aid. On every industry little by little.
Yeah.
And you know, they just recently announced that Jeff Bezos is the richest man in modern history.
150 billion plus.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
With the and they did that on the day that it was announced that Prime was going to be happening, Amazon Prime Day. Because what happened is, you know, the deal is to get on the Prime deals, you have to become a Prime member. That's the whole bit about it.
Well,
so you
get
a Prime membership, you got a little discount.
It's like, what is it? 119 a year now?
A year, yeah.
119. I mean, that's not bad. I mean, I think I paid originally I was paying 49 a year because I had the student discount, and I had that for like, oh gosh, now it's been 7 years, eight years.
Right.
And then they finally last year, they said, you know what? We're not doing the student discount anymore. I mean, I think they are doing it, but they're like, yo dude, you've had the student discount for 8 years. If you're still in school, you've got other problems. You know,
I would say though, you know,
so they made me get the full membership.
Prime membership is worth it. I mean,
oh yeah, totally.
Because you get the movies, you get the TV shows, Prime Video, Prime. I don't know. I still haven't understood Prime Music Because
because you have to pay a separate subscription fee for the real Prime Music.
Now, one thing I did get is I noticed when I bought, because I bought that Foreigner 21st Century CD, you know, because I like the band Foreigner, and I decided to go ahead and buy it. Mm-hmm. But it was cool because they also made it available for me to download. And that was automatic. Yeah. I paid that one price, and then I've got a download for it as well.
Yeah.
So I can kind of put that away and put the CD away and listen to the music whenever I want on audiophile. So to me, that was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, Amazon Prime Music, if I have, like, on my Echo, I'll mention, you know, like, hey, you know, Amazon, play such and such song or whatever. And it's like, this song is not available with your membership. You have to subscribe to Amazon Prime Plus or whatever for an extra $14.99. I'm like, no, don't do it. But with my Google Home, because I've already subscribed to Google Music, and that gives me YouTube Premium as well, so I don't have to watch any ads on YouTube.
So you can watch Cobra Kai, not because it's YouTube Red, right? Or is it different? YouTube Premium is the same. Yeah.
They rebranded it YouTube Premium.
Right.
So yeah, I could watch if I wanted to. I haven't. I mean, I've heard it's pretty decent, but
yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I might check it out. I don't know. Maybe.
But you
I got enough. I'm still in the middle of Man in the High Castle, so
I still haven't seen that yet. But now you can get music just by doing that subscription. You get YouTube, you get music, the whole bit.
Well, yeah, Google Music. It's $10 a month,
right?
And you get access to basically Google's entire library of music. You get all the playlists. You get podcasts. You know, you can get podcasts for free anyway. But you get all their music. You can create your own playlist. And the best part is you can actually download your playlist. So I think it's a little bit like Spotify, you know, because you can download playlists and stuff. But you can download playlists so that way you can play them offline, so you don't have to be streaming them
all the time.
And then, you know, unbeknownst to me, when I initially did the Google Music subscription, as I got YouTube Red, which is now YouTube Premium, I didn't know that until I logged in one day and it was like YouTube Red. I'm like, what is this YouTube Red? And then I realized I was never seeing any ads anymore. And YouTube ads are horrible. I mean, they are everywhere.
Have you seen the videos where they'll let you roll 2 minutes and then boom, an ad will come in right in the middle of a video?
I want to really just punch something when I see that happen. Because they always stop it right at the best part, too.
But 85% of the people surveyed say that is their number one go-to source for brand. That's their favorite brand is YouTube.
Yeah, and so just pay the $10 and you don't have to watch any ads anymore.
Not bad. Now, speaking of Google, too, because we're talking about that, Google Maps has been doing some really neat things. Now, as we know, a few years ago, they acquired Waze, W-A-Z-E. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great app. I tended to use that a little more than any of the map programs that I have on my smartphone.
You have more than one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I got lost at going to Camp Pendleton the other day because it sent me to the wrong gate. I put in the address, but it was sending me, you know, so that can be difficult. But Google Maps now is incorporating some of those features that Waze has had, which is pretty awesome. I mean, we're talking the ability to have a passenger that can actually communicate with other drivers in the road, see where there are problems on the road. Oh, we've got to slow down here. We've got, you know, an accident here. Watch out for your speed because you're going through a speed zone, the whole bit.
Well, see, the thing is Google Maps kind of already does that a little bit autonomously,
right?
Because they will detect how fast you're going and they will compare that to drivers around you that are also running Google Maps. And that's how a lot of these traffic systems will get their data, like SiriusXM. They get their data from Google, if I remember correctly, like the Sirius Travel Link or XM Travel Link. So what will happen is if you're using Google Maps, or even if you're not using Google Maps, but you have location services turned on, it knows where you're driving and how fast you're going. And all of a sudden, if you and a bunch of other people slow down in one particular GPS area, it's going to say, oh, there must be a traffic jam. So it'll automatically mark that section of road orange or red.
Yeah.
And so but with Waze, it gives people the ability to do it manually and say, hey, look, there's something going on here. I'm going to report this right away. The thing about Waze is if you get one report of something going on, yes, it'll turn that little section of road orange to let people know. But if they don't get any more reports, that goes away within 5 minutes.
Right.
So it's not super accurate because anybody, I mean, you can have a 5-year-old kid sitting in the car like, ooh, this is fun. Police, 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 police.
Right.
And like just constantly spamming that there's police out there and there's not. So, you know, they go away. If you don't get any reports on it, it goes away. So Google kind of does it automatically in the background to begin with. But this is nice that it gives people the ability to, if they don't want to use Waze, they can use Google and they can do it manually themselves as well.
They also have, they just recently added when to leave, which I think is a great feature.
Oh, yeah.
That way, if you got to be to a certain point, and it'll tell you, listen, if you need to be there by 11, you better leave now because there's some traffic problems, that kind of thing.
They also, actually, I've seen that for almost a year now.
They've really kind of added that along with the motorcycle feature.
Motorcycle.
So if you are, well, right now it's just in Eastern Asia, but if, you know, if you're on a motorcycle, it will take that into consideration for your travel time.
Oh, so because you can just cut through all the cars.
Yeah, you can split lanes and do all that kinds of stuff too and take different routes. It'll even show routes that cars aren't allowed to go in, that maybe bikes are.
So do they have the crazy Asian taxi mode too? I've been in taxis in Asia, and they now I'm not speaking about Japan because Japan, they actually follow the laws,
right?
But other Asian countries, and I swear to God, I thought I was gonna die because they were driving on the wrong side of the street, making right-hand turns in the left-hand lane. I mean, I tell you, man, customer service, man, that you want to say you want to get there in 5 minutes, you will be there in three.
That's every day in Phoenix, though. You can do that through Phoenix. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We don't have we're not doing well, it's kind of a website of the week, right? We've got
that. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And you want to tell us a little bit about Roblox?
Roblox. We'll talk about Roblox here.
All right, we'll do that when we come back. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. You can find us again on Facebook, facebook.com/techtalkers. Leave us a message. We'll be right back.
Thanks for hanging out. This is Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy. Welcome back.
All right. We like to, we decided a couple of weeks ago, we weren't going to do website of the week every week, game of the week every week.
Sure.
We're going to change it up. And we do have a really cool website, though, we want you to check out if you like to have fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun one.
Andy usually comes up with some really weird websites, but this is actually pretty fun.
All right. Before we get into that, though.
Yeah.
For listeners who don't know, and they may have heard the term Roblox with a story that was in social media not too long ago that was a little off kilter about some evilness that was going on in Roblox, but I don't even want to get into it. But
yeah, I'm not going to get into that part. We'll take a different route.
What is it?
So this game called Roblox, it's R-O-B-L-O-X. It's a game that was released a few years ago. Here's the thing. It's not really a game. It's actually kind of more of a platform for people to build their own games. But it looks a lot like Minecraft meets Lego.
Oh, cool.
And so the characters look a little bit more like Lego characters than they do Minecraft, but it still is kind of a blocky experience, blocky in terms of just, it's not like super high res graphics, but it's a very simple. But here's the thing. Roblox allows you to create your own game within the Roblox universe. And these kids, when I say kids, I mean teenagers, they've been starting to make their own games. And in fact, there is a guy, Alex Balfans, him and his business partner created a game inside of the Roblox universe called Jailbreak.
Oh, wow.
And it's basically, you break out of jail and you go do stuff. But they've created multiple games in the past, but this was the first game that really took off. And overnight, they had 75,000 simultaneous players playing that game
on the
day it launched, and they maintain that level, and now it is on track to generate seven figures in revenue this year alone.
Because it's free to play, but it's downloadable.
Yes, they're all free to play games, but within the game, you don't have to, but you can support the game, or you can buy extra content within each game by buying what they call Robux.
Okay.
Which is basically microtransactions, $5.99, $10.99, whatever. And you get these things, you get this Robux that you can spend within each of these games. And then what happens is Roblox, the main engine creator, takes a cut of that money and they give the rest to the content creator. And this kid has already made $1 million at 18 years old.
Amazing.
And he's not the only one. There are other people too. Andrew Bereza. He created another game called Miner's Haven, which is, again, kind of like
a game
Minecraft.
Within the game, right?
It's a game within the game. It's using the Roblox engine, but it's a game within the game. So he created another one, and he's also making a lot of money. But here's the best part. This past weekend, Roblox held its annual conference, which is kind of funny. A game engine holding a conference. An invite-only event for the platform's top developers. At the event, Roblox officials and said the company expects to pay over $30 million to developers this year alone. One young programmer is on track to bring in $3 million, and two more could hit $2 million each.
Amazing. Amazing. Where do they find it?
You can find it on Xbox, PlayStation, PC. Just go to Roblox.com, R-O-B-L-O-X. It's a game for kids. It really is. I mean, I played it as an adult. I was playing a couple different variations, like you make yourself a mall. You can make yourself a little mini mall or whatever.
And that sounds fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was kind of fun, but it lasted for me. For me, it was like a week later. I was like, yeah, I'm done with this.
All right.
For kids, it's a really cool game for kids.
Very cool. All right, here's our website of the week, which we have next week. We'll have something a little different. It's thewordsearchpuzzles.com. And if you like playing word search puzzles, it's a fun one. You just drag your mouse across, and I do believe you could play this on your smartphone as well. You thought you saw somebody playing this one at an airport.
Yeah, I was actually on the flight back from New York City, and I saw somebody playing like a word search. And when I look at this website, I'm like, wait, this looks exactly like it. So, yeah, it's a word search puzzle website. It looks pretty easy in terms of how to use it. Just drag your mouse, select the word. Thewordsearchpuzzles.com.
And every day, a different puzzle. Makes a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
That's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. Have yourselves a great week. We'll be back, next week?
Next week, I'm in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. Yes. So yes. I'll be sans Justin next week, but we'll give you all the latest what's going on in the world of tech.
Have a great week, everybody.